coming in on 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews.
Yeah!
I like being chock full of shit.
That's about it!
Was that recorded?
It's not an episode if you didn't make something up.
And the average for the beer that everybody loves is really high.
I like getting shit on.
All right, welcome to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews, a childish podcast about adult beverages. I'm your host, Knox, and with me is the world's worst comb salesman, Big Earn. How you doing, Big Earn?
So that's how this day is going to go.
Yes, sir.
It's a good one, Knox. I'm doing well.
And with me as well is Chris. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. I'm just a small town dude with a big city attitude. Ask Cher.
Cher, there yeah. We go. And my son, Jordan. How you doing, Jordan?
Good. Good afternoon. I'm ready to get drunk after one shot. Here we go.
All right. Good to see you, kiddo. And I got Chris Larson back on the show again. How you doing, Chris?
How's it going, guys?
We're doing fucking awesome. We're doing pretty sweet. So this is our yearly Father's Day special on scotches that we do. Unfortunately, this week we had to do it a week earlier than Father's Day because we have a lot of parenting things going on. You got hanging out with your daughters next weekend, and
probably
Chris, maybe. You're gonna be a father.
Yeah,
congratulations, my man. This is your first one.
First one coming November, so yeah, the little special Father's Day for me this year.
Right,
that's pretty bad.
Congratulations,
yeah, thank you.
Congratulations, man.
All right, so yeah, being this is the yearly Scotch episodes, Chris, what are we doing this year?
Oh well. Islas, because fuck everything.
So we went from the most famous and the least offensive,
right,
scotch,
aggressive,
to the absolute most aggressive style of scotch.
Yeah, so islas are, you know, fucking, it's love them or hate them kind of thing that I've noticed. A lot of people, it seems like once they get their feet dipped into scotches, once they get into islas and start loving islas. Islas are kind of where most people just kind of, that's where they want to be.
And like, how long does that take? Because,
well, for me, it took a full bottle of Lafroig Select to like islas.
To like scotch.
So, well, because I started, my journey was Glenmorangie Original, right? Sweet and, you know, honey and a little fruity and floral. And, you know, it's just sexy and like almost a dessert. Right,
not
it's
as so, sexy as you, though, big guy.
Fucking right. Mm.
Not with this. those tall pants on.
Not with this inverted Hogan I got going on here. Sweet.
It's too bad you can't see this terrible, terrible facial hair.
Yeah, I get drunk.
Do you need
things.
A comb for it?
No.
Oh, see, you're the world's worst one.
I just bad timing. Wood.
But so I was gifted a bottle of Lafroig Select from PJ and Molly for my birthday one year. And yeah, the first glass, I was like, this is just fucking garbage. I didn't like it at all. But I'd go back to it every couple of weeks. And it took me about 9 months to get through the full bottle. But the last two glasses I had, I wanted another bottle of it. So yeah, drink a full bottle of Islay, and then you'll probably fall in love.
Or fall over.
Right. Both of us. Head don't, over heels.
Please don't drink it all at once.
No, yeah. No,
well.
Yeah.
So scotches are those things where, like you said, there's the different regions and they're so vastly different. So if the only scotch you had was the really heavy peaty one, and it's like, oh my God, all scotches suck.
See,
well,
yeah, because the Islas, you're going to get more medicinal or iodine-y type flavors. The big difference, right? So Islas are going to be like the southernmost islands right off the south, I think, west of Scotland, right? So their characteristics are because of their location, right? So lots of salt water around them, lots of wind, and then they use peat to actually for their heat source, right? When they're drying the barley and stuff like that. So that peat takes on all these different flavors, so you get tons of smoke, you get sea salt and seaweed and limestone and things like that that are imparted into the scotches, and it's because of that location and because they're using peat for their drying and stuff. So yeah, that's what Islas are. They're in your face, they're intense, and they're heavily smoky for the most part. For our Patreon subscribers, after we do today's episode, we're going to do another episode with Brooke Lottie's. And the reason I wanted to do that is they have the Classic Laddie, which is an unpeated scotch. And then we've got a heavy peated Port Charlotte and then an insanely ridiculously peated Octomore. So so almost everything we're talking about on this first episode is going to relate to that next episode too. So that'll be fun. And I also want to shout out to our couple of patron subscribers again, Jayla Swanson and Sam Farrell. Thanks so much for your support. I appreciate
brand new.
It.
Thanks for your money. Thank you very
much, guys. Yeah.
So in case you guys didn't know, we drop two additional episodes strictly for our patrons every month. So,
word, y'all, and more shit coming. We're gonna learn how to video things so you can see this pretty face of mine.
Actually, I foresee like a big circle around your face with like just maybe like a smiley face.
Blur it out,
right?
Yeah,
just
fair enough.
Block.
So yeah, but that's what Islas are, and it looks like they're pronounced Islay. Islay, but yeah, Isla.
Like an island, but without the N-D.
That's right, Isla. So we're going to start out with Ardbeg 5, a 5-year-old wee beastie.
Yes, so if you go to
Actually, and owned by, now, Glenmorangie.
That's interesting. When did that happen?
I don't fucking know, but I was listening to Dr. Bill Lumsdell, and I was drinking with him the other day. Well, he was on YouTube, and I was just watching.
I'm still drinking with us.
We weren't hanging out.
So kind of reminds me like Anson Thorne talks about, yeah, he was hanging with his friends and I'm like, I didn't see anybody over. You go, oh no, we were online. I'm like, so in my head, back in my day when you hung with your friends, you were physically back in my day in the the late 70s, early 80s through, you know, whenever now. You know, hanging with the friends was in the backyard or somebody's backyard or out in the park or outside somewhere physically hanging out. And nowadays that means you might not even see them. You're right. Just hanging out online, talking to them or playing games together with them or whatever. So it took me a while to realize that, you know, in my head, that's not hanging out. Well, maybe to me it's not, but the newer generations, that's how they hung out. Especially with, you know, what's been going on the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. And that was the only way you could hang out, air quotes.
Now, you mentioned not being able to see him hanging out with him. We just did something that people couldn't see here.
Yeah, I noticed that you guys also did it.
Yeah, yeah. So why don't we explain that, Chris?
Every first whiskey I have for our bourbon or whiskey episodes, I like to do that. So,
Chris. Yeah. Mr. Miyagi?
If you spill things on your hands, or you can just pour it into your hands, get that alcohol in your hands, and then a good big clap, and rub it in your hands, and then smell your hands. What happens is that alcohol kind of fades off, and you're left with just
the grain.
Just the grains and that, so you can get a much better nose on it. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you know.
Don't spill too much.
Don't have weird shit on your fucking hands.
And if you ever go to a distillery and do a tasting, smell my finger. They'll often do that for you, and they'll show you like how to do that properly and how to, you know, rub your hands and then smell it and everything like that. It's very common at a distillery tasting.
No, it's not. It's not Superstar.
Hands in your armpits.
Mary Catherine Gallagher. Yep. It's not that.
Oh, okay, well. I'm still learning. Yeah!
All right, so getting back to the podcast here. Ardbeg Wee Beastie, 5 years. So if you go to ardbeg.com/English, Ardbeg Wee Beastie, it's a monster of a dram. Ardbeg Wee Beastie is the latest permanent expression to join the distillery's ultimate range. At just 5 years old, Wee Beastie is a feisty young creature with a formidable taste. Something big and smoky. So their whiskey creators set out to make the rawest, smokiest Ardbeg ever. The result is Ardbeg Wee Beastie, and this tongue-tingling, beautiful, smoky dram is the youngest Ardbeg we've ever made. On the snout, intense aromas of cracked blacked pepper. I've never seen blacked. Black pepper, but so not
far,
blacked.
So far, so good, Knox.
Yeah. Mingle with sappy pine resin and a sharp tang of smoke. Suddenly, an explosive mouthfeel bursts forth with chocolate, creosote, and tar. Savory meats sink into the palate before the long, salty mouth coating finish slinks away. I had to move the fucking mouse. Okay.
Next page.
Mouth coating finish slinks away, revealing the inner beast of this Isla icon. Young and intensely smoky, this is a dram untamed by age. Matured in ex-bourbon and Oloroso sherry casks, Wee Beastie is perfect for enjoying neat or as the mouth-watering main ingredient in a powerfully smoky cocktail. Non-chill filtered at 47.4%.
I like their choice of language there. They emphasize young and untamed to just like, you know, this is going to have some bite.
it's literally the words of a middle finger. We missed it, little fuck.
Oh, you missed that. Yeah, the first sniff alerts you to a nearby presence. Heightened senses are filled with very bright, fresh herbal notes with creeping hints of vanilla and
pepper. How about we do this part?
All right, fuck you then. All right, what do you got? Instantly smoky, right?
Yeah.
But not like a campfire smoke, something.
No, it's a little more mellow. It's not like slappy in the face.
It's not as intense as a lot of Islas, maybe.
No, you do get that medicinal smell a little bit.
Yeah.
But some people call it the Band-Aid smell.
Yeah.
Band-Aids.
But
glass very well.
Salty. You know, it feels like you're on a beach.
Yeah, I do get a lot of that salt.
Yeah, cold beach. It's night. It's there's wind.
It's partly cloudy. The wind's coming from the southwest.
It's very pale in color. I like that. And I already have a little bit of that, and it's non-chill filtered, so I got a little globule of fat in there that I really like. I'm going to,
globule.
So I think that pale color is, because it only sits in the barrel for 5 years. It doesn't really pull a whole lot of color from the barrel after 5 years.
Woo! Yeah, and they're second-use barrels, right? Yeah, bourbon, you know, instead of new barrels. So typically scotches are sitting in there for... you know, at least a decade.
Yeah. But this is definitely the youngest scotch on the table, for sure.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to bring it here after putting some thought into it. I wanted to kind of...
Initially, you wanted to get the Ugaval or the...
Ugadal.
Or on Oa.
Yeah.
Or Oa on whatever the fuck.
But yeah, I thought it would be cool to start with a 5 year, then we're doing a 10, 12, 16 and stuff. So,
and this is a $35 bottle of scotch.
I don't know. You just bought it.
Yeah, I forgot. I didn't
memories.
I didn't put the goddamn price gun.
Very approachable as a price point, I would say.
Yeah. You can get a bottle of this if you can find it very easily out of your wallet, no problem. I mean, I would drink this over Dewar's White Label any day. Even though it's an Islay.
So, yeah, it's a, I like this. I think it's nice and salty and briny. And there is a little bit of rough edges and a little bit alcohol-y in the back end.
Yeah, but it's not super intense.
But no, not terrible.
It's not
so bad either. And at 47.4. It would make a really great penicillin cocktail or something like that. You know, you could really mix with this at $35-$40 a bottle or whatever it is.
And for me, it doesn't even taste like... It tastes like it's more expensive than $35 just because I'm so used to that high school shit.
Yeah, I mean...
Which you're not in anymore, by the way, right?
Has a lot of character for the price.
Absolutely.
Wow, this actually is not too bad. I get a lot of that... I get some heat right away and that peat smokiness, a lot of smokiness, but then it mellows out pretty quick and then I get some sweetness. Mm. I mean, I get... I don't like...
It almost seems it's got a little bit of corn in the grain because it's that sweet, but there's not. It's a single malt.
Apple.
Honey glazed ham lurking in the background. I don't know about the ham, but I definitely get the honey glaze.
Maybe the little saltiness of the pork, kind of like that with some sweetness.
Sure. Yep, I definitely get saltiness. But yeah,
antiseptic lozenges. Ham. Yeah, look at this. A powerful blast of eucalyptus thrashes about with antiseptic lozenges. Yes, I get that antiseptic lozenge.
Yeah. It numbs your tongue a bit.
Yep.
Nice little tinglies to them.
I didn't taste much of that chocolate, though, honestly.
Usually when they're
point. I don't get any that either. So, Jordan.
I added a little water, and I got a little bit more of the depth of the chocolate flavor from that. But and a little bit of that creosote. Oily, fiery kind of.
So just in case our audience doesn't know, which I didn't, creosote defined is a thick, oily substance left over by fire. It not only causes foods to become bitter, but it numbs the tongue when you eat it. If you have ever left a plate of barbecue with a numb feeling on the tongue, it is because of creosote built up on the meat.
Get the fuck out of town.
There you go.
I kind of like it with a little bit of water. Kind of takes a little bit away of that burn.
Yeah.
But doesn't really take away much of the flavors.
No, and I felt it even opened up some of that chocolate and that like I said, that creosote, that like fiery flavor.
Kind of, I think adding water takes some of the legs away.
It doesn't for linger sure.
Yeah. Nearly as long, but yeah, I don't mind that.
If you guys were going to rate this on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5
zero
being
five.
The best,
0 to 5,
it won't get a 0.
Every week.
I know, folks. I'm a piece of shit.
I like this with water.
We're doing quarter increments. Yeah. What would you rate it?
I would rate this one probably a good solid 3. Well, let's do 3.5 out of 5. It's above average by a good one point, which I appreciate. But, you know, I think there's better stuff out there.
I don't know. I think for the price point, you get a lot of bang for your buck for your price. I'm going to give it a solid 3.75.
You would if you would follow the directions and go in the counterclockwise direction?
We didn't tell him.
I know we didn't.
That was our fault.
All right,
was our fault.
That was my fault.
But if it happens again, it's on you.
Yes.
You have been warned.
Yes.
So 3.5 Knox?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to at least 3.75.
Hi, Chris.
3.25. Yeah, 3.25.
And Jordan, you said what again?
3.75. It's good for the price point.
I'm going to come in at 3.75 also because of the price point. It's pretty rare you find a scotch that has this much character. Absolutely. For under 40 bucks.
It's a good one. I like it.
So the average for the
Ardbeg.
Ardbeg.
Wee
Beastie. Is 3.60
average,
out of 5. So
yep. So that this can go anywhere between online like $45 right now, but I know I got this for under $40.
Not bad for the price point at all.
It's still nice one. Still it's warms up your heart and your belly.
Absolutely.
Yep. And I did get this one at Bridgeview Liquors.
Dude, now, it gets in your guts for sure.
Thank you, Bridgeview.
When you get in my guts, you care a little bit.
That's damn right.
All right, this next one. So we went from a 5-year now. Now we're going up to a fucking whopping twice as old and a 10-year. This is the
I cut my teeth on Laphroaig Select. So this is my first bottle of the Laphroaig 10. And I think I also sampled some Laphroaig like Triple Wood or something my buddy Stefan had. And that took us a fucking long time to finish that fucking bottle too. Because, yeah, that was our... Those were our two intros into fucking Islas.
How old was the, excuse me, the Laphroaig Select?
I don't know. Not sure.
I think that the Select is a no-age statement, so it's probably a blend of different aged barrels.
All right, ladies and gentlemen out there, neighbors, if you go to Laphroaig.com.
Laphroaig. How do you want to say it now?
I'm just saying it how it's spelled.
That's how I would have said it.
I'm saying it like it's spelled. Laphroaig. Or, as you say it normally,
Laphroaig.com.
Go there 10 year. It's 40% ABV. So it's aged for 10 years and distilled following the traditions laid down over the last 200 years by a succession of passionate and skilled master distillers. This is a classic single malt scotch made from malted barley, which is first cold smoked and then dried over a peat fire. The smoke from the unique Islay peat gives Laphroaig its particularly rich flavor. This peated whiskey is renowned for its bold, smoky taste, followed by a hint of seaweed and surprising sweetness. Full-bodied with a long finish, it truly embodies the quintessential Laphroaig character. It's the quintessential Islay malt with flavors of peat, smoke, and salt. It's distilled the same way today as it was at creation over 75 years ago, and it's got hints of seaweed and sweetness. It's also the 2019 San Francisco World Spirits Awards Gold.
Cheers.
It's not that time yet.
Oh.
I agree, though. There's a lot of sweetness when you throw your nose in the cup. It's surprising. It's,
I don't get as much.
This one is always deceiving because you don't smell the depth of the smoke and the peat when you're smelling this one.
Yeah.
You get a lot of the sweetness on the nose.
It attacks your fucking mouth, dude. It's stealthy like a fucking ninja. Yeah. Scottish ninjas!
I don't get as much saltiness on the aroma on this, maybe.
Agreed.
I would agree.
But yeah, definitely the peat's smokiness.
Yeah.
More earth, wind, and fire.
Right.
All right, so this also has water from the legendary Kilbride stream. And the malted barley is cold smoke and the dried over fire fueled by the Islay peat. Which we already said that.
And this one to me, okay, it smells like it's been aged longer, right?
Yeah.
It's more refined. It's softer. It's not as aggressive on the smoke to me or the peat. Like on the nose, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I think that is because it's not necessarily that the peat is less. It's just that the malt is sweeter and higher. Absolutely. In the nose.
Yeah, and I would say probably the longer barrel age. Yeah, the extra 5 years in oak probably does it some
it's,
good.
It's calmed down those other things, and you're getting more of that wood sweetness and those different characteristics come out through the nose.
It's a little bit darker. I do get some more. I do have a little bit more of that, those fatty globules in this one. So, again, thank you for not being cold filtered. And legs on this one are extremely long.
Surprising, too, because this is actually 7.5% less alcohol by volume than the last one. But the legs seem to be bigger.
And you're going to find that, or what I've found, most scotches are like 40, 43, 46%, right? Yeah. Where we have all, you know, as a bourbon snob, you know, we're always like, give me that 120 proof, that 130 proof.
Give me that cast shit.
Now you're like, 86 is good on a fucking scotch, man. It's just, to me, it's such a more approachable. Drink it straight and neat and just sit down and chill the fuck out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Still, it's still got that.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Where it's a little bit of medicinal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not as bad. It's got more of that maltiness, that malty sweetness in it.
It's sweeter than the first one.
Yeah.
By a landslide.
Definitely more barbecue smoke. Ooh, though, on that
yeah.
One.
Just that creosote that we were talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
different.
Delightful, actually. Oh, by that. Then you get a little bit more smoke at the end.
You do. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I might get, and I know I didn't even see it on this one, but I almost get more. Like some sort of chocolate or some sort of sweetness at the end more than I than the
like cocoa
the
powder. First one.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like dark baker's chocolate.
There you go, Nux.
Yeah, I get that even at the very end of it.
I'm even getting like a little bit of like spice, like you would put in like a spice cider or something like that. Like you know,
like some like almost nutmeg-ish.
Yeah, like a cinnamony nutmeg-ish kind of thing.
I agree with the cinnamon part.
I almost passed out. I'm just going to close my eyes and enjoy this.
We'll wake you when we're done.
Now the mouthfeel on this is much more creamier.
Yep.
It's going across the tongue from the tip of the tongue to the back of the throat.
It's less razor bladey.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
So, well, we were talking about the youth of that 5 year, you know, and I was like, you know, it cuts it, you know.
Yeah.
But this one, you know, you still have some of those same characteristics. It's just much better.
It's more defined.
Like it's easier, more palatable.
Absolutely.
And I think on the tongue, it lasts a lot longer. It kind of melts away on the back of your tongue.
Yeah, but it doesn't really burn.
No, it's a good melt.
Yeah, I think this is really good. Does anybody have any other flavor notes?
Oh, I was going to put a little water in it and try it again.
Oh, yeah. I forget about that.
Yeah, let's do that.
I personally don't think the water really adds much to it.
I think you're wrong. I think it,
and here's why.
There you go. I get a lot more floral.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I got more citrus and floral and define a little bit more of that medicinal flavor.
A cross between like roses and perfume like that your great grandma would sometimes wear.
Ruby.
Or Beverly. Yeah. Either one of them.
Yeah.
So something between there is where I'm saying is floral. So not off-putting. Like the perfume,
but you know it's there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Understand. It's interesting. It makes it interesting.
Yeah, there's a little more like caramel or butterscotch even comes out through the nose.
Yeah, and it's like it went from peat to like barbecue smoke. So the creosote kind of is higher than the actual peat flavor when you add a little bit of that water. But overall, this is fucking really great.
That's a banger.
Yeah. Ernie, why don't you start this one out? You haven't started one out yet.
Well, no, because this is only the second one. 4.25. I like this one.
Chris?
Yeah, 4.25.
Was there a price point on this bottle?
Well, let's do our numbers first, and then we'll talk about price. Mm.
That's Chris's thing.
We're rating the liquid, not the cost of the liquid.
I know that.
We can talk about it afterwards, but let's number shit.
You're right. Okay.
No, I yell at you.
I agree.
All the time about this.
With less alcohol content than the first one, which was on the cheaper side, it still gives you a really good amount of flavor. I would give this a 4 flat.
All right, Chris?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with about 4.25, which surprises me because I've had this before, and maybe it's I've drank a lot more scotch since I first tried it. The smoke isn't nearly as like overpowering as I expected it to be. So, yeah, I think, yeah, solid 4 probably.
Wait till later.
4.25? Or 4?
I'll go solid 4 on that one.
Okay. Ditto. I'll do the 4.
I think, looking at the price, I think this one, with only being $10 more than the first one, I think it's a very good. It's something you can, you know, relax, chill with the wife on the weekends, watch a couple of movies. It's something that, you know,
smoke one of those cigars.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Chris brought.
Yeah.
Bigger, and what do you got?
For the average. The average for Le Perroleg.
Look, I don't want to be direct, but this calculator is going up your ass tonight.
You don't just say all the letters in the fucking word and
that's
make
what
it,
I did already. You can't copy me.
Good Christ.
Oh, sorry. Is 4.10. So we're heading in the right direction.
Yes.
Next.
Well, why don't we take a quick break?
We can.
We gotta get our advertising sponsors in here. And we'll be back with the last two remaining scotches of the day.
Stay tuned.
And you're going to need to finish, figure out how to pronounce but I haven't had it again. This is way harder than Lafroig.
Lafroig. Yeah, this next one has a lot of
consonants in it. All right. Let's do it. All right, we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we might mention Bridgeview Liquors a lot around here, and there's a really good reason why. They pay for a lot of our booze. But one of the great things about them, not just the paying us in alcohol, is they truly seem to love what they do. They're knowledgeable as hell on almost every type of alcohol. Anytime I have questions, that's where I go. That's why I love Bridgeview Liquors.
And I know for a fact that they have knowledgeable staff because if you go back to our Brandies and Cognacs episode, Evan, their store manager, his store pick for Brandy's was the winner for the day. And I'm also impressed immensely with their huge selection of craft beers, not only locally, but as far away as 4 or 5 other states, which is more than an armful away.
Speaking of their knowledgeable staff, I found out that the word Gewurztraminer means a noble grape while at Bridgeview. It is basically a grown-up version of a Moscato. Bridgeview has a wide selection of local